This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It is Wednesday. I'm in sunny Los Angeles. I don't know what it's like outside because I got the blackout curtains drawn. Just kidding. I went outside already to get a Diet Coke. I'm back on the sauce.
Hell yeah.
And you know what I found about Diet Cokes is that if I drink them from cans, my mouth starts getting like sores in it. Like I start like it is abrasive to my mouth. But bottles, plastic bottles, which are terrible, like give sores to the planet, better for my mouth, more refreshing. I like a Diet Coke out of a bottle. What do you guys prefer your sodas out of? Like some people are like, I love the Burger King on I-70 and Olive, the fountain. Like, people love a fountain soda from specific places.
Fountain soda, Chick-fil-A, Diet Coke, good ice. Ice is very important.
Well,
more crushed, the better.
Chick-fil-A always has the ice. It has the same ice.
Yeah, it's good ice. It's crushed.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you were saying, like, I get there, Chick-fil-A, I get the good ice. It's like, as opposed to what?
Yes, okay. They have levels of ice.
They have the crushed. Is it like the little, almost like little hacky sacks of it? Like the little, they're like little balls, or is it like shaved?
They're ballish-ish. They're kind of in the middle, and for some reason, crushed ice is a little whiter, less clear than regular ice. I find, which is interesting.
I used to have a friend whose dad became obsessed with making ice completely clear. And he would like check on his ice.
What?
I got to ask him about that. I remember his dad was obsessed. He was like, my dad's kind of losing it. He like loves making his ice clear. There's a certain way to do it where your ice cubes will be completely clear and there's no haziness in them. I guess the haziness is like air. Who knows? I'm not a scientist. But I do like a crushed ice.
He drank a lot of water and then pissed in an ice tray. That's how you get it perfectly clear.
Oh. Perfectly clear. Man, and no multivitamins. Piss is clear. No beets, no asparagus, no B12.
Dude, one time I took, I had stomach aches from taking mood enhancers. I think I told you that Sammy stuff.
And
it hurt my stomach. It hurt my stomach so bad I started taking Pepto-Bismol, and then I started shitting black, and then I assumed I had stomach cancer from the Sammy. But I didn't know that Pepto-Bismol makes your shit black. So
I didn't know that either. I don't think that's a common thing. Really? Isn't it weird you can eat marshmallows all day, like only marshmallows all day, and it will still come out looking like poop? You can eat only white, like the most crisp white, like jicama marshmallows, and I don't know, what's other, Cool Whip?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower. Just pure white foods, like crackers. What are some other, I'm trying to think of white people foods. Kind bars. And it'll just come out looking like poop. Yesterday, Kirsten wrote to me and was like, oh, man, I was not feeling good all day. And all I could think about, I forget if we talked about it on this podcast, but when you have a giant shit in you and it's just like nothing but like a little bit of skin is keeping that from everyone else in that Lululemon. It's so gross when you have poop in you.
People literally call it a turtle head poking out. Like, it's already out. And people are still walking around.
It's so much in you. Yesterday, I went after I had a long day of podcasting, and I was like, oh my God, I did Conan's podcast and Marin's podcast John Wayne levels of shit in me. like impact. Like, it was, I feel like you, it was a, I was almost there with a partner. Like, we were doing a, like, it was, they should have had an extra mic for it.
I love the idea of you having.
I was so stopped up. I didn't feel it though. I didn't know.
What's that thing when you have a hoedown where it's just you and the shit and you're like, make
grab
my
your
day.
Partner round and round.
I was thinking more, you got your hand on your six shooter and then shit is across the 10 feet away from you.
I didn't know that I was constipated though. That's the problem with constipation. I'll just be a cranky little baby and not know that there's a lot of stuff inside me that needs to get out, that it like is not ready to come out. I hate when you can't. Why can't you just poop? Why does your body hold on to it? I know it's probably dehydration. Let me, as I chug a Diet Coke, let me get a smart water in me. Ugh.
Doing but wait, Conan wait. In person, how did that feel compared to, because you've done like what, four, like three things with him via Zoom over COVID. And
I
then you've done his show.
No, I did his show twice over Zoom. And then I've done his podcast in person before.
Oh, I didn't know you did.
But this isn't a new studio, and this is after I have become a huge fan of his podcast. Like, it meant as much to me as like doing his TV show when I first did it. You know, like in terms of like how much I listened to. Like, I used to watch Late Night with Conan O'Brien every single night from junior year of high school until like senior year of college. Like, it was just a ritual every night to watch it. And so it was a big deal to me to do it. And then this podcast, like his podcast, I listen to all the time. They're like, the way that people feel about us as like their friends is exactly the way I feel about Gourley, Sona, and Conan. Like, I just love, it's such a good podcast. Not to like talk about other podcasts, but I mean, it's so fucking good. It's so funny. It's, if you like ours, you will like theirs. It's very
Conan
similar.
Conan needs a friend.
Conan needs a friend. Conan O'Brien needs a friend.
How did it feel being in a new, was the studio more, they put way more money into it? Did it feel more like professional, or was it better or worse?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, it was like a house. It's like you walk into a house and it's like, a really nice girl met me outside. So excited that you're here. I walk up the stairs. There's like a basket with all these snacks. Conan is at the top of the stairs. There's people, like, there's all his producers who I recognize from doing the show a billion times. like in, it used to be like a WeWork space, not really a WeWork, but like a women's WeWork. So it's like this, it almost looks like it could have been a domestic abuse shelter for women. Like it's a house, but it's like nice. And it's like, has a nice kitchen and then this like living space where there's like tables. And so there's producers working and like writers. And then there is his studio that we went to. We just walked to his studio and then just started potting and just sat down. And you have to say, you know, like, I'm Nikki Glaser and I feel, and then it's like blank about being Conan O'Brien's friend. And then you fill in the blank and then the podcast just starts. And it's,
can you say what
it was really fun?
Did you change it from
last time?
I said
chill. Yes. Last time I said overwhelmed and this time I said chill because it's an inside joke for people who listen to the podcast.
Gotcha.
But I really struggled with it. I was going to say snuck because that would also be an inside joke because one time Jennifer Garner was on Conan's show and he said something like, and then you snuck over here. And she goes, snuck isn't a word, Conan. You should know that. You went to Harvard. And he's like, he's a little miffed. And then they get out the dictionary and he looks it up and he's like, snuck, it is in the dictionary. And she felt really stupid. And so I was brainstorming about what to say, but it was a, you know, I'm really struggling to, I honestly would like to like not talk about my appearance on Conan because I am going through the thing I always go through after Conan appearances, which is, man, I could have been so much funnier. I was just so nervous, not nervous, but I'm just so like, it's weird what my brain does when I'm like relaxed and I'm around people who I know are just like tickled at everything I say. I can be really funny. Like when I'm on stage, I can be really funny when like people, and Conan thinks I'm funny. Sona thinks I'm funny. Gorley is a fan. I was just too in my head of like, be present, listen to what he's saying, try to get in on the laughs, like, and also be interesting. Don't be too, like, I just feel like I always talk about my low self-esteem, especially because like Conan has it too. And I just feel very connected to him in that way of like feeling like an imposter. And it's insane to me that Conan O'Brien, who is my number one, thinks that he's not good enough sometimes. And he's very open about that. And I always feel like whenever I talk about my low self-esteem on like literally every podcast, and usually I'm talking about how I like have overcome it or how I'm dealing with it, people tend to like feel sorry for me or think that I have like that I'm struggling all the time, but, and not that he did or anything, but a lot of times, every time I leave Conan, whether I'm doing his TV show or his podcast, he always takes a moment afterwards to be like, hey, like, you can call me if you ever need to. Like, I'm here for you. Like, I really want you to like get the help that you need. And I always feel like, what am I saying that's making people think I'm like, because I'm doing all right. Like, I really am.
Well,
like, I have bad days.
You went into it that, saying, I feel chill about being Conan O'Brien's friend. And then by the end of it, he's like, I'll get you help. I'll get you
help. I know. But they did say, so I said chill because, there was one podcast where like Matt and Sona, Matt is like Noah and Sona is like you. And they all, Matt and Sona are always talking about like, you know, they're always just teasing Conan because he's so uptight and like, you know, perfectionist and like they're kind of chill. Kona will like, you know, do edibles and Matt's just like an easygoing guy. And they're like, we're so chill. And he's like, I could be chill. And they're like, no, you can't. And so they started doing these episodes where they have no guest on, where it's just, they did it 2 summers ago. You guys got, if you want to just step into the Conan O'Brien universe, obviously I would recommend the Kevin Nealon episode is the funniest podcast besides my own that you will ever listen to. I sent it to Andrew to listen to. Wasn't it just insanely good?
I loved it.
So funny. Don't listen to it before you listen to my episode of Conan. You will be sorely disappointed in me because Kevin Nealon is so goddamn funny. It's just top to bottom. Don't skip the first part. But anyway, they give him shit about not being chill. And so they came up with this thing that they were doing these like extra episodes during COVID. Maybe when they could, you know, they were just trying to make more ad revenue, make more episodes. But thank God for it because they did this segment based on that conversation called Conan O'Brien and the like, it's like something about the, and the chill chums and they called them themselves the chill chums. And so I said, I was like really chill. And the truth is I'm not chill about being Conan O'Brien's friend at all. I'm extremely anxious about it. And But it is weird, like, and not even just Conan, like, anytime I do a podcast, I even went and did Marin, and, like, it's, there's
just Is he still in his garage?
He's in a guest house kind of situation. He's moved since that garage, and so it was a new, I had done his podcast when he was at his old place, but, and the old place I remember being like, Barack Obama has been in here, and he was like, yeah, he sat right there, and then... yeah, he let me like drink from the water bottle Barack drank from. I'm just kidding, but I would have loved to do that. I wish he would have kept it. I assume he kept whatever water bottle. ruined the seat.
Yeah, I mean, you're so into Barack.
Oh my God, I'm so horny for Barack. But even Marin, like, I can just tell there's always like this like poor Nikki thing. And I want to just say, I think it might be because other people aren't as honest about having low self-esteem and struggling with things as I am. And so people think that me sharing that I have this stuff, which we all have, other people just don't share it as openly, that people think it's either a cry for help or that because it's so rarely shared, she's clearly struggling more than any of us. When really, yeah, I just have less of the walls that other people have. It's not that I'm struggling any more than anyone else. I just don't censor myself about it, which I'm so grateful. Like, thank God for people that pick up on people asking for help. And sometimes I have done cries for help of being like, I'm going to shave my head or whatever. And like wanted people to be concerned.
But do you think,
I hate,
why do you think you pick? Why do you feel like, cause I've done similar things when I go on podcasts where maybe I'll get nervous or I'll want not people to like me more, but like I'll share more where I feel like, oh, this will get to people. This will, rather than just like a mundane conversation of like, next thing you know, we've just joked about ice cream for 20 minutes. Like, but that could be great too on its own.
My superpower.
Yeah.
I feel like, and that's where I'm in the clutch is being open emotionally. Like I feel, yes, I'm funny. Yes, I could talk about ice cream and riff. Conan though, he's a riff god. Like I,
yes,
no matter what, I will never touch his level of riffing. And I would even say Gorley and Sona like are on his level. Like they are so fucking funny and like have learned from him. And they just had like this great rapport. It's not like I intentionally go to it. I think that's the one thing I can do that other people can't do is get really real, really fast. And I think sometimes obviously it throws people and it makes people maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but I feel like if I can't be, I could not be my funniest yesterday. I just couldn't. I was not in my funny zone. It just wasn't going to happen for me. So why not lean into the thing that I know even if I'm nervous, I can always kind of nail, I can do better when I'm nervous at revealing personal things. And so I think that sometimes it can come off. And I just, for some reason, Conan brings it out in me because Conan is someone that I projected so much perfection onto for so long and just admire so much and would like, you know, I would probably kick Marion to even have 2 ounces as much, you know, comedic talent as Conan. It, from my estimation of like how I see myself compared to him. And I know that people will be like, no, you guys are, but to me, I would do, he's a god to me in terms of comedy. And so I think that when I found out from watching his, from listening to him on his podcast and then also his documentary, I Can't Stop or I'll Die, I think it's called something like that. I learned that like, oh my God, we're really similar. And so I always want to talk to him about that because if I can find out that Conan is like me in that way, that he doubts himself, then maybe I'm wrong about myself when I doubt myself. Like, it also makes me feel good. You know, I don't know. That's, I think, why I get into that. But
I think there's something about sharing not just for you, but then getting someone else to share some of their insecurities, which then will get their fan base to actually relate to them even more. Because usually Conan's the one interviewing, like he's the one asking the questions. It's going to be, it would be kind of weird if the interviewer was like, okay, but you know, I get sad sometimes. Okay, you didn't even ask a question yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're allowing him to open up where maybe he wouldn't even.
Yeah, I got into stuff with like, asking him questions. I do have to say though, I have this weird thing with like podcasting now or going on other people's shows where I just think everyone hates me. Like the tone, I have to overcome people hating me already because they think I'm too dirty, or they think I'm, all she does is share about her eating disorder, or all she does is talk about her low self-esteem. Like, and it's weird that I would even go into that, but I know the audience listening to this show right now cannot relate to that in any way, because you guys really like me and it feels amazing. But I just feel like, I don't know. I went to coffee with Taylor Tomlinson yesterday. It was so much fun. And I was talking about, someone recently asked me, like, who do you think are worse for female comics, other female comics or male comics? And I was thinking about that. I think that, what was my point going to be with this? That I feel like every like most men that are kind of like your basic man that might not be an outright feminist, not that they're like a bad person, they just haven't, like, they think maybe feminism is like icky. They allow themselves to like one woman at a time, like that they, you know, that they don't want to fuck. And I would like to be liked as a woman who they don't want to fuck. And they don't, you either like Taylor Tomlinson, like they, to prove that they're not a total misogynist, they like one woman to go see, but I think Taylor's funny. So I'm not, when I say Whitney and Nikki and Eliza and Amy suck, but that's not because they're women. I like Taylor or I like Nikki. So when I say all those other women stuff, and I feel like I'm always trying to win over that guy. And it's stupid because that guy is a sad person. But there's always this I think with men, with these like kind of guy characters, and Conan's podcast does not have that kind of listeners. They're actually more like our listeners for sure. But I just feel like, and it's, again, here I'm back at my low self-esteem. This is like the voice that I'm trying to rewrite the thing I believe about myself and trying to disprove it. I'm trying to win over these guys who are actually the voice inside my head that is like, you're not good enough. Everyone else is better than you. And if I win over those guys, then maybe I'm wrong about myself. So it really comes down to what I believe about myself, if that makes any sense. Yeah.
No, it does. And I think about that as well with those, you know, certain guy comedians or whatever. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, you have to be almost a certain kind of comedian or be a certain way to get that approval that you're searching for. And then you kind of disregard people that maybe you like their comedy more, but they're not as famous or whatever. And then, I don't know, I feel like there's a line between me wanting to impress someone just because they're famous, just because it could help you, as opposed to just being true to yourself.
I'm not trying to get help. I'm just saying for me. Ticket sales.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's how I, like, where it comes from, where it's like approval. I don't know. You don't think like...
Let's go to break and finish this up when we get back.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast, because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know, because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues, like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and...
I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to Quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week pick on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
I think the difference here in what we're talking about is I want to win over men who have the mentality of a seventh grade boy. Something happened to me in middle school where that is when I decided that like boys don't like me. I'll never be cool. These kind of guys decide what's cool. The guys wearing JNCOs and the guys that make fun of everyone. I have to stay quiet and like dormant so that they don't make fun of me. And if they do notice me, I want to be like the one girl that they are like, Nikki's cool. She can hang out with us. Cause I wanted to hang out with the boys, not because I wanted to have sex with the boys or blow the boys. I wanted to be friends with them because I grew up, with my best friend was a boy. And then suddenly I am in school and I have no guy friends because you either are a girl that they like romantically or you're like I didn't want to be a tomboy necessarily, but I was just scared of boys and their judgment and how mean they could be. And I didn't want any of that, even though I wanted to hang out with them and also be mean with them. Like I have a mean streak. Yeah. I love making fun of people, but I think I still am trying to win over seventh grade boys, literally like seventh grade to 11th grade boys that are just assholes, judgmental of everything, so insecure. All they want is to like get their dick sucked and anything that won't facilitate that they like hate. And they're trying to be cool. And poor boys, like they're struggling so much, but I'm still
by senior year,
approval.
They're fine. They're fine
the
by
thing
senior
is,
year.
They've got so many.
I think by senior year, there is a different kind of anger. I don't really care about winning over Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, but there's something about Eric Harris, like these kind of angsty boys.
You said it in the last segment,
earlier.
Though. I think that like
I'm
you are definitely, Yeah, like you've pinpointed where it's come from, and also in the last segment you've had this epiphany that you're really just competing with yourself. It's that inner voice.
Yes.
And it's rooted in
that. My voice is a seventh grade boy. Yeah, and if I win them over, then my voice will shut up and allow me to hang out with it. Now, one thing that I want to say in addition to this is that the thing is, so many people, including myself, like every time I've said this before, but like a big epiphany I had in therapy one time was like telling my therapist, I'm scared to go on dates. I was about to go on a date. And she's like, what's your biggest fear? And I'm like, that they are going to sexually advance on me. I'm going to reject them. And then they're going to say, I didn't want you anyway. You're fat. You're old. You're ugly. And they're going to do the mean thing that men do when they're rejected a lot of times. F-Boy Island, season 2. Check it out. We have a moment like that on the show that to me was my worst fucking nightmare if it happened to me, but it happened to a girl on the show where a guy gets rejected and then lashes out like, I didn't want you anyway. Fuck it. You know, that's always my fear. And my therapist goes, that is the fear of like a girl who's dealing with 15-year-old boys. Like what are you talking about? Like men don't do that. Like if you don't want to have sex with a guy, he's not going to call you ugly. And I'm like, but I just, that's the fear. Like I know that it's rare, but I can't get over that. I know that in air shows, planes don't crash, but I'm never going to go to an air show, even if because there is a chance it could happen. And she was like, you are stuck in 7th to 11th grade. You're stuck somewhere in there. And so when I'm saying that I want to win over these 7th to 11th grade boys, I'm not marketing my comedy to those boys. I don't care about, you know, but in a way I am, because guess who's stuck at that age too? Every man my age, everyone. I'm stuck at 14 years old. Have you ever looked at, like, girls, I want you to do this. Guys, I want you to do this. When your girlfriend or your boyfriend is acting in the way that you are most annoyed by, that, like, the side of themselves that comes out, shrink their body down to, like, a smaller size, like, if you can in your head, and just blur your eyes and picture that person at different ages and see which one it fits. Because a lot of times when I am being my most like, I don't even want to go, like, and I'm not going to do it. And I'm like throwing a little tantrum that I like will throw and be like, I don't even care. I don't even want to. Like my body movements, everything is, it's like I'm mimicking a 13-year-old girl. So like we all,
but if your
still
boyfriend gets more turned on by that, that could be an issue.
Listen, sometimes I role play it and I, you know, slam my door and say, I hate you, mom. And then he goes down on me. No,
this is like, speaking a lot to like shit that I go through now. I was friends with a lot of girls. I was like that guy that was friends with every girl. I never hooked up with them. I was always just friends with them. And it actually hurt me with my guy group, like the cool guys. I had one cool guy that liked me. And then forever I tried to get these guys to like me. And then around junior, senior year, I smoked a little weed. I listened to a little Fish and I stopped chasing it. And it changed. And now I'm like back to, like, I'm literally like back to square one. But I stopped chasing it.
I think of us on the campus of University of Indiana on scooters. We were on like little Lime scooters years ago when we were first working together. And
that was our first scooter ride.
Yeah. That was our first Lime scooter ride. Andrew got so nervous, not when we passed by girls, you know, college girls, not when we passed by like people our age, when we passed by guy, like freshman, sophomore, junior guys in the frat party. At frat parties. He was so scared of what other guys thought of him. Whereas I, like, that would be I would be, I guess I don't care what any college age people think of me really anymore, but I'm scared of what people think of me who are stuck in that age. People
yes,
my age who
I
are
get
stuck
that.
There. So like I pursue the approval of men who act like middle schoolers. Like all the guys that I go, why do I even fucking care what this
and I get approval of fraternity guys that act like, well, their age. Yeah.
Yeah.
The best thing you said to me, you go, they're not even, you're so old that they're not thinking of you as whether you're cool or not.
You're just
a
not
old
cool.
man on campus.
Yes.
You're not anything.
OMOC. Yeah, it was like, we forget. Like sometimes I try to like when I was at the Wilco Festival, I was like trying to befriend Glenn Kotche and I think John Stewart, the two band members, their daughters were there. They're like 13 and 14 and they were adorable girls. I wanted nothing more than to hang out with these girls and just like talk about what they care about, like hear what they have to say about boys and like not like relate to them, but and not even like coach them or kind of like mentor them. I just wanted to like hear what little girls are talking about because I miss being that age so bad. And I realized, I mean, it didn't even cross my mind that they would think of me as anything more than just an old woman. But even I did it with Burt Kreischer's daughters when they were on tour. Like I was with Mark Norman and Shane Gillis and Big J Okerson. And as much fun as I was having with those guys, the second Burt's daughters arrived on the scene who are 18 and I think 16, I was like, and they brought their two friends with them that are of the same age, these four girls. I was like, guys, can you help me like pick out my outfit? Like, should I wear these shoes? Or like, I was like, dying for not even their approval. I just wanted to like hang with them. Like I still, yeah. I can't wait for Poppy and Arlo to like get older because I love talking to younger kids, but it is creepy when you try to like, and you never want to be the one that they're like, God, thank God she's gone.
That's true too. I got paired up with a father and son in golf the other day because I get random because I go out and play by myself. And I don't know what I do because I think I coached lacrosse in middle school. So I connect to younger kids. Like I have an immaturity to me, but I do this kid could have been really, can be very good at golf. And I realize his dad is a little passive and he probably doesn't get like, dude, if you work on this, you could you really could be something. God,
how much is just a little encouragement like that? That's all it takes to send you in a completely different direction.
Dude, so I do it to this kid.
Someone just being like, you're good at this. Ugh.
I go, your dad sucks. Your dad's a loser, but I see something in you. That's what I said to him. No, so it's been 3 weeks, and I'm at the course the other day, and I'm driving, and I just hear, Andrew, yo, is that you? Is that you? Yo, it's me, Ben. It's Ben. And I was like, who the fuck is Ben? And then I look closer and I'm like, oh, it's the fucking teenager.
Something to his dad when you like that you overheard when you were leaving?
That was a different, that was another uncle and nephew. That was a different pair.
And he was like, I like family. That guy. That was really cool.
They go, I couldn't imagine being paired up with two better guys, Uncle Ray or whatever. Yeah, but I don't know, but it was just like, I get what you're saying about like getting, like it's just young energy. There's something that it doesn't feel as tainted as some older people that I know.
Where I just remember being that age and the freedom and the fun, and I love like opening their minds a little bit or saying something that'll make them give them some material for their friend group forever of like, oh, something cool or something funny or just something weird that I say, like nothing like inappropriate. I just miss being a young teenage girl so bad, which is why I'm looking so forward to this girls trip that I'm going on. Noah's going on it. It's 10 girls in the Hamptons next weekend. Yeah.
Who will survive?
Who will?
Like you said it like it was a log line. Like
it really does sound like it. Yeah, it's next. It's not this weekend, but it's next weekend in the Hamptons at my friend Sarah Lena's house. And it's going to be 10 of us. And my sister's going, my, you know, best friends from grade school, college, and adulthood all convening in one place. And it's going to be it's going to be like we're in seventh grade again. I feel like
this
it's going
to
be very.
This is the trip that you wanted last year. I remember when we got to Tulum and you're like, this is not what I envision. I want us all in one house.
I'm so mad about that.
I just want to like hang out on the couch, watch movies, talk, blankets, all that stuff. That's like what
not
I see
pay
for
a
that
dime
weekend.
Because Sarah Lena lives there. I mean, it's so funny. We were looking for Airbnbs for this when I was like in the early stages of planning. Like, what's a house that could support 10 to 12 girls? And it's costly, but I was willing to do it. And then Sarah Lena, she lives in the Hamptons in this gorgeous house. And I was like, how many people does your house bed? And she's so generous. Like she would like let me move in, like if I wanted to. Like she's just like, oh girls, totally. You can have it. You can just have the house. I'll just go live in the shack. Like she's so generous. And but she was like, yeah, it's 10 people. She has a house that can have 10 people stay in it in the Hamptons. I mean, it's wild that this is just there for the taking. I'm so grateful for it.
It's going to be funny, like, next, like, 6 months from now, you're like, so you think we could do a girls' trip again at your place, Sarlena?
She'd then, probably be like, sure. I know. I mean, I'm giving birth that Tuesday, but yeah, I can get my placenta out of the way. Yeah.
You know what? I'll do it in the shallow end. I'll have the baby in the shallow end. You guys keep diving.
But that is going to be
It is funny, though, when you get something like that, where, like, you use someone else, and then it's, like, five later, you're like, okay, maybe. But she is different. She is the type to not think that you're overstaying.
She has a new baby that she had in, I think, April. And she has obviously a husband, but she also has an apartment in the city. And I was like, hey, listen, if we did your house, and she's like, oh my God, of course we can do my house. Are you kidding me? And she was like, are you okay with my house? I'm like, are you? It's like so nice. I mean, it would be like $15,000 a night rental. I'm not joking. You like this place is in East Hampton, gorgeous. Yeah. Yes. Insane. During this weekend in July. And she's like, and I go, and you know, you can have her baby Leon. I was like, and you know, I don't know how you want to work out with like Leon being there and like, but we will like give him space. And she goes, oh, hon, no, can he not be there? And I was like, yes,
I love you.
I love a mom that's like willing to take 3 days away from their baby. And it's not the end of the fucking world. She is like good. Like she is not, there's nothing about that that makes me go, oh, she's a good mom. Like she's not obsessive. Like on our group chat, there's like, you have to beg for a picture of this baby. And it's not because she doesn't love him. It's just because she's just not one of these parents that thinks suddenly their baby, despite having lived a life where every single time you see a picture of a baby under 6 months, it is not interesting. It's not different than anyone else's baby, unless you like it's your sister's baby or your best friend's baby. No one really cares. She it's not that she's like hiding it and being like, my friends don't care. She just is like not forcing it on us. And we were insatiable for Leon content.
Where's the baby going? In the city?
Yeah, in the city with the dad and she has people like, you know, she's got a fucking house in the Hamptons. She has the help. And she's got an amazing like baby nurse that works with them who's like turned into her best friend, and we're all talking about like this needs to be a sitcom because this baby nurse's name is Mavis Davis.
Who's going to milk Sarlena?
Oh, that's a good point. She has a you know, as long as my sister's coming, my sister will forget all of her pumps. And so
I'm sure you can find some boys in the Hamptons.
Hello.
I mean, are you going to just cook out, and are you guys going to go out to dinner? Do you think you're going to do like the Hamptons thing?
I have a feeling I'm going to do like an Instacart thing, or I'm going to have Sarlena send someone out and I'll pay for it. Obviously, or like buy a ton of groceries, and like I'll have every girl make a list of like stuff she wants so that it's just there. And then we'll also do like Postmates because I'm sure that's a thing down there. And we've stayed there before and had a good time. But and then I'm sure one night Kirsten and there are some girls in our group that like to cook and like make nourishing meals. And so I'm sure we'll do that. But yeah, we're just gonna like hang out and go to the beach and but really just hang out and talk and giggle and dance and like listen to music and do meditations and weird, like, I don't know, light as a feather, stiff as a board kind of things. I don't know. Noah, do you have any like goals for our trip?
Honestly, I have no goals. I'm going to be in the car with Carlisle, I think, for like 8 hours driving from JFK to the Hamptons. And I think it's going to be so fun. No, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, she's looking so forward to it too. She's like, oh my God, I'm going to drive with Noah. I'm so glad I'm with Noah on that ride. It's going to be so fun. It's just like, it makes me feel so good. She's going to be there. I don't know if we're going to leave together. I really hope so. Like, so the car rides are going to be a separate like adventure. It's going to be so fun.
Exactly. So she's like my travel buddy because our flights are lining up. And I just like, I cannot wait. We both rented we rented a car together. So like we'll have our independence if we want to like pull off the road and all that. And I'm just, you know, like I haven't had really like one-on-one quality time with Carlisle except for like one of the walks in Tulum. So it's been a long time. And then I'm also,
that's awesome.
I'm so excited to like I feel like this is going to sound very strange, but I feel like I'm being transported to high school where I get to have like this gaggle of girlfriends that I've never had before. I only had like one close friend growing up. And I'm just like so excited because I know everyone's personalities. I've gotten to know each one of your friends separately. And now I get to like be in like the cluster. So I feel
You're really, in really the good group. You're at our table at lunch. And I was never the girl that had like, I mean, this is the coolest group of girls you'll ever meet or ever know. And any bestie listening, like if I was your friend, you would totally be invited to like, if we were like, if it was possible, I'd have all the girl besties that listen to the show and maybe some of the guys too. You would all be able to sit at our table, but it's true. It's like, it feels so good to me too. Like having this, it's not lost on me that it's really hard to accrue a crew like the ones we, like the one we have. And it makes me so happy that like, it feels selfish to be like, these are all my friends coming together, but I made sure to invite all people that get along. And like, it makes me so happy when my friends become friends and like go off on their own and like, don't need me to be the connective tissue. You know, like I think some girlfriends, as I've been this girl before, that like I'll introduce two friends and then they will become better friends than I am with either of them. And I will get like, wait, no. And I want to control it and be like, no, you come hang out with me. And like it becomes contentious.
How did you let go of that? That's a big thing.
I never care about that anymore because I just don't question my friend's love for me ever. Like that is the one thing in my life. Like I question my boyfriend's love, even though I shouldn't. I question my parents' love. I question my fans' love. I question, you know, my dog's love. I don't have to question. It's just apparent he doesn't really care for me. But for some reason, my friends, I just, that has always been so solid for me. And I can always like lament about other stuff that like other people have that I don't, but I really won the friend lottery. And I have like since fourth grade when I met Kirsten, and it really is about luck. If you're a girl that has just like never had friends and never been able to like meet close girlfriends, it is nothing other than like there's nothing wrong with you. I'd said this on stage about people that have been molested or like been in abusive relationships. Like you're not different than me just because I haven't been. It's just, I got lucky that I haven't been hit in a relationship yet. And I got lucky that I met these girls that are cool at a time when we were all in the same grade. Like, I always think like if Kirsten was in a different grade, what would my life look like? If she was in a different class than my fourth grade class, like what would it be? So it's just luck, you know?
Yeah.
And it's waiting for all of us. If you're a girl out there or a guy out there that like struggles to make friends, it's just circumstantial. Yes, there are things you can do to put yourselves in more circumstances to make friends, but there's nothing like inherently wrong with you. You might have social anxiety or something that does prevent you from maybe making more connections, but it's not because you're like not worthy of being a close friend. Like everyone's capable of it, I believe.
It's also hard to get everyone together. I mean, to find a weekend, I feel like the older I get, well, you know, an email will go out like, hey, let's everyone leave open October 10th through 20th. We'll all get together. And then, yeah, fuck yeah, bro. Can't wait to do it. Oh, my God, we're going to go here. We're going to do this. Oh, my God, yeah. And then slowly goes, hey, man, I got to back out because, you know, Davis's recital. And I got to back out because I have a hemorrhoid that Wednesday. And I got to back out. And next thing you know, it's just two guys just being like, well, I'm still single and alone. Yes. So you want to just come over and watch the football game? It's hard to get people together. It really is.
You know what it is? Like, I knew there were certain girls in this group of 10 girls that I know bail. I'm one of them that like are prone to saying yes to something. And then when it comes up being like, no, Kirsten is not that. Kirsten will commit. She will clear her schedule. She'll make it happen. So it started out me and the two people that I know were probably going to be on the fence about whether or not they could go. My sister, she has three kids and a job. And, you know, she just went on a trip to, you know, Colorado with me. So getting her to go on this trip. And I just say to them, like, you gotta prioritize this. Like, there's no way you'll regret it. I usually will, if it's a cost thing, I'll be like, let me just take care of that so you don't have to worry about that. If that's like, I eliminate anything. And I also say, if you don't want to go, it's totally fine. You can bail out at any point if you want. But it's going to be so, and I won't judge you. I don't care. I'll buy your ticket. And if you fucking don't show up for the ticket, I'm not going to be like, you wasted my money. Like, I just want like to give you the opportunity to go if you want to. And I give them, again, we talked about this the other day, the freedom to bail gives people it, you know, when I remember in my relationship when I told Chris, like, I really like wouldn't mind. This was early on when we were dating. Like, I don't mind you like hooking up with other girls. Like, if you tell me about it, like, I kind of am turned on by it. And he was like, it's so funny. Like, as soon as you give me that freedom, like, there's no desire for anyone else. Like, part of the desire to bail is the fact that you can't get out of it. If you do go, you're locked in. And I always say to Carlisle, like, the other night when karaoke, I was like, if you come, literally, just take an Uber with me there. I'll pay for us to get there. If you walk in and you want to turn on a dime and leave, I'll get you an Uber out immediately. Like, you don't have to stay. You'll never be stuck. Yeah. I'll give you an aisle seat. Like, when we went to go to Broadway show, like, I realized some of my friends need that aisle seat. Like, you need an exit plan. You need the freedom to be able to not be judged if you do want to leave. And you need people to just be gentle and be very forgiving. And to just like really reinforce, like, you deserve this. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity to hang out with girls, to not be with your kids. I know you're going to feel like a bad mom for the weekend, but honestly, you are going to be a better mom because you're going to have friendships that you're nurturing that your kids need to see you have. And you need to have other things important in your life than working and kids. And I need to fucking hear that. It's hard for me to take time off. Like, I just want to stay in St. Louis. I don't want to travel on a weekend. Yeah. I have off. I'm going to New York next week for press. I'm flying back on Wednesday to St. Louis, and then I'm flying back to New York on Friday. It's so important for me to get St. Louis time in to be home, and I'm leaving again. But you just have to. You can't. You gotta carpe.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go to Nashville this weekend to see Rusty.
Oh no,
my boy Rusty, and he's there. He's actually with Jake Owen, the country singer. You know.
He's visiting him.
Yeah, and we're potentially going to play a lot of golf, but it's a 5.5 hour drive, and I talked to him, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, it's kind of a long drive. He's like, look, I'll let you know what the plans are. You come. Last second decision, all good. And then I'm like, I'm already gassing up the car. Like his niceness about that of like, dude, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I'll see you a month from now or 2 months from now. I'm like, okay, what? Yeah, it's just it's just very inviting. People who punish people for
showing up or bailing, like, you got really, people got to work on letting your friends off the hook when they bail. And you might not relate to bailing. Maybe you're someone who's just like, I never do that. So I just get mad when people do it to me. It's never going to help alleviate the bailing. If anything, it's going to make people stay further from you. It's going to make them not return your call because they know when they do call you, there's shit to be had. And so you're going to lose friends if you keep punishing people, even though you're justified because this person's shitty and they're bailing. Like, just get into a place of forgiveness.
I do find sometimes when you call that person that will give you shit, they tend to only, a lot of them will give you shit the first three sentences and then it's like back to normal. They just have to get it out.
I know,
so I have empathy
that,
for them to
sentences.
Have to get it out. I know, but those three sentences, sometimes I could get through just to get to the
friendship
part.
I know, but sometimes those three sentences, I don't even want to put up with those. And I will just not call the person because I don't want three sentences. Like, that is really enough to keep me away from someone for years and ruin an entire friendship.
I agree.
And there's something wrong with me for that, too. Like, I should
Sentence a year. A sentence a year.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to give me two sentences? I'll wait 2 years. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with more show after this.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which It's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
All right, we're back. It is time for our Wednesday wildcard segment. Right before we get to it, can I just say that I just got sent a Vanity Fair headline about F-Boy Island. Can I read it?
Please.
Yes, Vanity Fair tweeted, F-Boy Island may be conceptually among the worst of the current dating shows, but as a vehicle for entertainment, it's an it's a fucking tour de force.
Oh, man, that's great.
Isn't that
I feel
best?
Like that's like the sentence that we were just talking about in the previous segment where it's like you like let it all out and say something mean and then you say something nice.
Yes, yes. And you know what?
I love a headline like that. It's just like this thing is terrible. And because it's terrible. Yeah, yeah.
It is a terrible show conceptually. F-Boy Island, I mean, we give you that. They're not saying anything that we are not. Conceptually, it's terrible in the sense that, like, there's three girls looking for love and 15 are F-boys and 15 are nice guys. Like, that's conceptually, like, kind of a nightmare. It's not anything you'd see in the real world. It's funny, but it's conceptually what they said among the worst of the current dating shows. But you know what? That doesn't insult me at all because you know, there's a show called Is This Cake that conceptually is one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. And it was a Netflix hit, you know, like, so conceptually I can, you can insult me all the time, but when you call it a fucking tour de force, which makes me think of, you know, a bike race, I'm so excited. I like almost cried when I saw this, cause I read it and I'm like, but it was sent to me by Elon Gale, who, is the, you know, creator of the show and another executive producer, and he would never send me something negative. So I was just like, yes, it just makes me feel so
good.
He just
sends you the first half of that. He says, oh, this is a headline. That's it. Just the
yeah,
first
I
half.
Went and read the article and it's all, you know, glowing. So it will be on HBO Max tonight at midnight. I believe it's the first three episodes, but I don't even know that yet.
Yes.
And we will be watch this weekend, whatever batch they give us for HBO Max. Tonight and on Monday's episode of the Nikki Glaser podcast, we will review F-Boy Island in a new segment we're calling F-Anals Island. Something like that. We are getting to use Andrew's idea for my name for my special. Finally.
Honestly, conceptually, it's the worst name I've ever heard. But
yeah. Another review came from Fandom Wire that says, comedian Nikki Glaser returns to host the reality competition. She once again proves perfect for the job. She uses her quick wit and incredible humor to poke fun at the absurdity of F-Boy Island's premise, while also bringing a genuine perspective to the blossoming relationships. She acts as a Jiminy Cricket of sorts, guiding the three women on their confusing and difficult journey to find love and money. So that was nice to be compared to a little baby cricket.
Just a little Jiminy.
I'm just so little. It's because I'm little. That's why they said that. Is
yeah, for sure.
I'm so little the whole show.
It's weird they even got you on camera. The camera adds 100 pounds.
Let's get to our, yeah. That was one of my favorite Friends lines ever, was when Monica, they're looking back on old footage from high school, and Monica is a lot heavier than she is. And she was like, oh, come on, the camera adds 10 pounds. And Chandler goes, how many cameras were on you? I thought that was, in sixth grade, I remember being like, that is the funniest joke I've ever heard in my life. Ever, ever. And I still maintain that's one of the best jokes ever. Okay, all right, let's get to our Wednesday segment. We haven't played it in a while. We are playing The Blankest Thing. And today's question, where we answer the mostest thing ever, is, what is it? The whatest thing we've ever done?
The cursed.
The cursed thing we've ever done. I will start us off. I think I told Andrew this once on like a car ride. It makes me cringe to even think about it.
Oh my God.
But I once used to bring a cigarette on stage when I smoked at Sanford and Sons Comedy Club in Kansas City, Missouri for my open mic set, which was a 3-minute set.
And can I ask, when did you light it? When did you light it?
No, it was already lit. That would have been cur if I lit it on stage, but it was already lit and I brought it on stage, and I would definitely light it at a time where I knew I was going to like be up next. Like I wanted that cigarette to be a part of my, like I'm so cool and relaxed vibe. Yeah. Disgusting. So lame. Definitely knew I was being cur because I had a crush on a guy that was one of the comedians who I ended up losing my virginity to, but I wanted to look cool to him. And he didn't
what,
even
did you
smoke,
see the
and
movie
I know
Grease?
Yeah, tell me about it, stud.
Tell me about it, stud. Like, get to your jokes.
I'm so chill.
I gotta know more about this because it's
what?
When did you?
So I knew
when did you
he
think
he
to
did
do
not
this?
Like smokers, but I still brought it on stage.
No, but when did you think to do this? Was it a one time thing, and then you like ran with it? And when did you stop doing it?
I probably did it a few times. It was every Tuesday night at Sanford and Sons. It was open mic night. There were probably like 30 comedians there plus audience. And I think I thought to do it because I saw other comedians at
Andrew Dice Clay or something.
And the whole time people are smoking in the showroom. I mean, this was like when smoking was indoors. So like I was smoking the entire show, but it was like very important to me that like I got to have it on stage with me to look cooler. And it does make smoking at the time. Did
yeah,
make
Chappelle
look cooler,
still does it,
and it does make him look cooler. I you know, you watch Mad Men and you go, there's something to it. But I definitely planned it and needed it because I felt so uncool. You know, like I couldn't.
Yes.
I
how did you get
something.
Over it? How did you, when did you stop doing it? Did you start doing cigars?
Chewing gum.
Yeah.
Started
yeah,
chewing nicotine tobacco. Gum on stage. Yeah, yeah. I wore a patch on stage. I think I just realized how cut it was and how dumb it was, because really you don't, you can take a 3 minute break from a cigarette. Like if I was doing an hour set, I can imagine if I'm like that big of a smoker, I might need a cigarette in the middle of it. But a 3 minute set, I just, and you know what? I started watching comedians who would like take beers on stage or like their drinks, and they would take beers on stage because a beer on stage also makes you look like, oh, I'm one of the guys. Especially Kansas City comics used to be like very, like everyone's trying to be, just, you
Doug
know,
Stan
like
Hope.
Doug Stanhope. Yes.
Yeah.
Like very gritty, like Kansas City right. comedy in the early mid aughts or mid 2000, like early, like 2005 ish. Filthy. Like that's where I was. It was such a perfect place for me because I was like, yes, finally I can be so dirty. Like everyone was dirty. And it was just a dirty club. It was behind a Hooters and like a part of like, you know,
oh yeah,
off
we drove
highway.
By it. We drove
yes,
by
we went.
It.
Now it's like yeah. a CrossFit and we were like banging yeah, on the doors. Yeah.
But your cigarettes butts are still there.
Oh, they're still there.
I like that you said God, cigarettes well, butts.
I mean, they're somewhere because those things do not biodegrade. And I probably threw them on the ground because I was like trying to be cut. God, but I remember seeing guys bring beers on stage and realizing how fucking lame it was. And now I, even when I see it now, I'm always just like, like you are doing a 10 minute set. You do not need a beer. You're only bringing it to like look cool to the audience. And then I started, after I quit drinking, I just saw people like drinking beers on stage. I saw them as weak more than I saw them as cool. Like I was like, oh, you need this thing to, like, you're so nervous. You need this thing to calm down. It was like watching someone like use an inhaler on stage. Like I'm, you know, like no offense yeah, to anyone yeah. who has asthma, but it's like kind of like a nerdy, like I'm scared kind of thing that I associate. I don't really think that of people with asthma. I know it's a whole different thing, but like, there's just something about like it. You're like a nerd that needs like this assistance to get through this thing. It just seems,
I just hope
and now
a
I see guys like, chug it on stage and I'm like, oh, you're such an addict. Like it kind of makes me, and I don't want to be judgmental of addicts, but I do think it's good now. And so I think
here's
I
the
quit
thing
doing
though,
it then.
If you're at a comedy show and there's someone with an inhaler on stage,
that's
you better
cool.
heckle that motherfucker. No, you gotta really get
yeah. If someone's vaping on stage, I actually don't mind it because that is so lame that I think that they must be such an addict that I'm like, oh, more power to them for just doing what they want to do. Like I love when people
yeah, if you blow out a cloud and you can't see the act out, that's pretty cool. You know, if your cloud is so big, it ruined your performance.
Don't bring a smoke machine. Like you don't need to set in a tone with that. You can just.
Honestly, I want to bring like a case of beer for a 5 minute set and just like.
Hilarious.
Like the biggest, a keg. And just be like, what's up? So anyways, let me fill up real quick. So the city's cool. Wait, what are you, a whore?
Like the other night I was on stage and I needed to call an Uber because
like, while you're
I was
stage?
Like, because I was going to my next set and like I needed it to be there right when I got off stage. And so now I know you can like time Ubers. And so I don't need to as much, but I forgot to do that. And so, or you could schedule them ahead of time to show up at a certain time, but I didn't do that. And so I was on stage and needed to like get an Uber. And I thought, this audience probably thinks I'm being so cool because I'm just like, I don't care about you. I'm getting an Uber. Like, it felt so lame to be doing anything on stage that makes it seem like you're like distracted from what you're doing. Like, it's so easy for me. Like, I don't even need, like, if I'm doing, I remember one time
I have another set
someone
to get
do a
to.
Handstand on stage. They were just like so relaxed. They were like, I'm just going to do a handstand against the wall. And like, they're like, they stretch or they just do like, oh, and it's just like, stop this performative. I'm relaxed bullshit. Like it's, I can see through it. But a lot of times audiences can't see through it because audiences can't see through fucking anything.
Nothing.
Open your eyes. Comedians are so lame. They are all using tricks
the
to
more
make it
confident.
Seem like they are cool. They're not yes. cool. They're all so unconfident. They all have such low self-esteem. Stop thinking that these edgy comedians are cool. The edge needs to be brought back. I can't stand these fucking edgy comedians.
Give me
I'm
a
sorry.
Topic.
I just don't like the idea of people getting fans by being like, listen, no one else can handle this. Can you? Like, it's just,
yeah.
It's a lie. Just be, you're funny. That's all you need to be. But it actually works. So maybe I'm jealous. It does. It works.
It's marketing at the end of the day.
Yes,
and it's good
is.
Marketing.
It's genius marketing. And, but I'm just saying, you as a consumer, when people are telling you they're edgy, you need to be a little, you know.
It's so weird when I see someone with fake confidence. And I've been known to do it myself.
It might be
where
real,
where you
though.
Come out, you're a little louder, you're in your face. It all comes from insecurity. It's all insecurity.
We all fucking are. But I don't like being, I don't. And maybe I've done it in the past, and that's why I'm so grossed out by it. And I have. I just admitted I walked on stage with a fucking cigarette to do a 3-minute set in 2004 or whatever it was.
Yeah, but now
it's
do
lame.
It in a
but I was
do it in a
to
hospital
like
waiting room, Nikki.
Right.
Do it in
right.
a do it in front of a baby dying of lung cancer. Why don't you do that, you fucking pussy?
Man, I can't even touch that concept. It's like so edgy that my brain is getting canceled right now for even thinking about it. Final thought.
Our coolest thing. We got to
do
our coolest thing.
Thing, please.
Well, should I just do it based off kind of the same kind of idea?
No,
that
I
you
mean,
just...
like, what were you going to say, though? Was your coolest thing? Like, originally?
I mean, my
maybe...
coolest thing is probably, like, things I did with money when I had a lot of money. Just buying the truck for $50,000 cash with big, put big ass wheels on it just to. Month later, traded in for a Mercedes, and I took out $7,000 in cash from the bank and bought from a used car dealer, Jack. I came back and I threw the bag of money in his face and I go, give me the keys to the Mercedes. And then he gave me the keys. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Did you? Did you like the
honestly,
way that car
I felt
looked.
Alive.
And
going to
you-
the bank to take out $7,000 in cash, though. Just to trade in a truck. Like, it's so insane.
Yeah.
And then I lost that car. I ended up losing. Like, I lost all my money, and I ended up having to get that repoed, you know? Like,
was part of it for you, though? Like, did you want people? Obviously, did you talk about how much money you paid for it in cash? Like, it was a thing to get girls and guys to like you, clearly. Like, was it important to you to, like, let people know how much it was? Did you leave the sticker on it? Like, did you... Was there anything
no.
could?
The
that,
funniest
like-
part about it is once I drive it off the lot, the windows are tinted. There's a sad, scared
oh,
little
you
boy
to
driving.
Roll down your window for
I wouldn't
to
even
see
roll
you.
Them down. I was too like embarrassed of having like a because I didn't feel like I deserved it because I made all the money on one deal. So I'm driving this $50,000 car that go 430 horsepower AMG. Meanwhile, like
it,
the windows are tinted
you,
to hide, huh?
And this fits with you because, like, you were desperate for approval from, like, guys and oh. girls back then, but you were also, like, scared to even have sex. So, like, you wanted to have girls want to have sex with you, but, like, you wouldn't even do it. So, like, it's almost like you
I
had
just felt like that's
windows
what you do
your
with your
dick.
Money. That's what you do with your money. Like, I was, like, a very small scale of, like, you know, an NBA player who doesn't make it but blows their first big check. But they oh. bought... 50 cool things that they just think that that's what I should do with my money. Like,
oh, I've done, yeah, we've all done those things before where we like,
but
buy
when was
something
the one time,
like,
when's the first time you got a big check? Do you remember what your first big check or you got all incremental until you got somewhat big?
No, I don't remember my first, like, I think it was probably, I remember telling my dad, like, I was living at home with my parents and I got enough college gigs on my books. That over 2-month period, I had no money. And I was like, Dad, in 2 months, guess how much money I'm going to make? And I remember it being $10,000 over 2 months. And, you know, it was like doing like 18 college shows or something like that. But it was just, to me, that felt like I finally am going to,
yeah.
to be
so
okay.
So what did you go buy when you got that $10,000?
Nothing. Oh my God, are you kidding me? That's going to go away. I got to save it. I'm not good at that. I don't.
Dude,
I don't
my
like
first $8,000.
It. Because the then first, it goes away, Andrew. Like, the money is only special listen, when you have it.
The first $8,000 that I got in real estate, I went to this club called Automatic Slims in Fort Lauderdale with Rusty. I spent all my money. I bought bottles of champagne, and I fell through the table with holding this waitress. She fell with me. I saved her by her landing on me. My back went through the glass table. $8,000 worth of champagne broke. And then I woke up to a girl putting on a Hooters outfit, and I didn't hook up with her. And then she wouldn't give me a ride home.
She was at your place, but she had to go to work, and so she was putting on.
I was at her place. She was putting on a Hooters outfit. I go, hey, can you drive me back to downtown Fort Lauderdale? I woke up, I was 40 minutes outside of Fort Lauderdale. I go, can you drive me back? She goes, I can't. I got to get to Hooters.
Were you bleeding?
Inside. Internal. So I go, well, drive me home. She goes, I can't. And then Rusty, she's like, well, you can't stay at my apartment either. It's like 100 degrees out. I'm wearing a shirt that says Juice So Crazy with a star date.
Oh, my God.
I'm walking in a it's like 130 degrees in South Florida. Rusty comes and picks me up and like $8,000 gone. Like I know, I literally had less money than when I started the night. And, you know, but God, I kind of miss that guy.
That guy's still in you. You still do stuff like that on a smaller scale. Like getting into Celsius drinks, like getting a new golf shirt every day for some reason. I don't know. How many golf shirts do you own at this point? It's got to be more than I own of Taylor Swift shirts.
The clubs is the problem. The shirts are not.
Oh, really?
The shirts, okay. I'm okay. The clubs are the problem.
Noah, but what's the coolest thing you've ever done?
Okay, so for me, the thing that came to my mind was earlier in my radio days, and maybe like a little bit later into my radio days, anytime there would be a celebrity coming to the studio, I would get a photo and then I would run to Facebook and post it just to like show off, like, look at what I get to do. And that, you know, like now I just like cringe whenever I look at those posts, and I just know that I did it just to show it off. It was not like any indication of like what my job is or anything like that. Although like now I just feel like I don't have to show off these things. Like if anyone is curious about what I do or what my history it is, they can just ask me and I'll talk about it. And those photos are just for me to bring those memories out. So like, I don't know, like that. Ugh, I feel so.
It was desperate for you to like let people know that you were like crushing it and like that this that
yeah,
you
like,
were succeeding.
Look at me, like
you were hobnobbing with celebrities. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And like all
I've
sorts,
done it.
All
for sure.
Like wrestling and actors, musicians. I was just like, I'm going to show everybody.
And you
who
know what's lame about that? No offense, or what's cuh about that is that you don't know them. They will never. They don't remember you.
Yes,
it's
not a friendship.
And I wanted to just say, if I take pictures with people at shows and they post them, you have every right to post that because we have an interaction. Even if you come up to me on the street, I will remember you. But like, if someone is a radio producer that I'm doing a bunch of radio shows to promote something, and the producer takes a picture and tries to put that on his Tinder, like we're friends. And I think that that's like where, I think it's cool to post pictures with celebrities when you meet them, even if you don't have a good connection. Like sometimes it's like, oh my God, I'm with this person. I don't think that's lame. I think it's lame when you try to make it seem like my life is just like, these are my buds. Like, I don't know.
And it's
just like if you're calling
pose.
Them by their first name.
It's always the same pose. It's like very quick. So you have to get it right. And it's just,
oh my God. You know what? I'm going to open tomorrow's show, which we're about to record after this, with a story of what I last night lived one of what you just told, the story you just told of the coolest thing of your life. I last night, Andrew, it would have been the coolest moment of Andrew's life, and he would have done the same thing that you would have done in my shoes last night if he would have been, you know, back in his Andrew days of wearing.
Did you hang out with my heroes? Did you hang out with one of my heroes?
I met one of your heroes from.
Oh,
when
you
were probably
son of
wearing
a bitch.
Those,
don't say
those
it.
Shirts.
Save it for tomorrow.
I met one of your heroes, but it only when I think around the time that you bought that stupid truck. That it would have been a hero of that time, and I'm guessing you can think who it is.
Vin Diesel?
No, you'll see on the next episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Don't be cuh and check
Harlo
Twitter.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at DontTellComedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your
your first show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.